Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for coming. This is Steve Fort, President of BRLC. Welcome all of you here. And I'm going to ask John to go around with the mic and we can introduce ourselves.
Keith Johnson, the Vice President.
Hello, I'm Mike Heathley from Mountain View.
Rob Turner.
Katrina McCurdy.
This is Roger Peterson, Second Vice President of CCB.
Good morning. This is Rex Ransom from the highest hill in El Segundo, California.
Maria Mitchell from Bayview.
Lena Dawes, Sacramento.
Linda Perel, and in this room, I'm the board member of BRLC position two.
Judy Wilkinson, in this room, I don't actually have a hat, except as a supportive member. Yeah, but I'm going to, as long as I got the mic, anybody who's not doing anything else, even if you are doing something else, think about coming to our meeting for the library users in this very same room. And then think about buying a luncheon ticket if you don't have one for this fabulous lunch where we're going to have this wonderful children's author as our guest speaker. Thanks, Steve, for letting me do this. Yes, all.
Okay, I'd like to welcome all of you, and Marlene O'Neill, our recording secretary, cannot be here, but she did provide a tape with some introductory remarks and the minutes, which we will now hear as soon as I can switch tapes here.
Hi, everybody. I'm going to read you the minutes from the last BRLC meeting. I'm sorry I can't be with you, but I have some health issues that need addressing, one being my back. I'm having terrible back pains. It's a bulging disc, and then I'm having an operation on my esophagus. So that's why my voice may be a little husky, so I apologize for that. BRLC membership meeting for April 12, 2013. President Steve Fort called the BRLC business meeting to order at 9 a.m. on Friday, April 12, 2013. Introductions were made. Marlene O'Neill read the minutes for the BRLC business meeting held on Friday, November 2nd, 2012. The minutes were approved as read. Marlene O'Neill read the treasurer's report for John Ross. The balance at the close of the CCB Fall 2012 conference/convention was $3,314.83, and the ending balance as of April 5th, 2013 was $3,629.83. The treasurer's report was approved as read. Steve Fort complimented Mike Keithley on the good job he did editing the Fall 2012 Braille Writer. He mentioned Mike's editing of Kim Charlson's presentation in particular, remarking on the difficulty of editing her presentation with headphones. Mike Keithley received a well-deserved round of applause. John Ross collected BRLC membership dues, and Linda Perel collected donations for the Braille Challenge. Roger Peterson stated that there had been a meeting of the BRL board via teleconference. At that meeting, BRL Treasurer Ann Byington stated that there was a problem with California membership dues, and she wanted to speak with John Ross regarding this matter. Steve Fort announced that Keith Johnson had volunteered to serve on the committee being formed to rewrite the BRLC Constitution to reflect the change from two conference/conventions to one. Roger Peterson announced that he also wanted to be on that committee, but he did not wish to be the committee chairman. Kathy Skyvers arrived at the meeting and apologized for being late. She was brought to the meeting by her two sons, who also attended. She mentioned that her birthday was on May 2nd and jokingly remarked that she would be 16, since 88 is her age and the sum of those digits equal 16. Marlene O'Neill was nominated to be BRLC's delegate to the ACB conference/convention being held in Columbus, Ohio from July 4th through July 12th, 2013. She was approved by acclamation. A motion was made that and seconded that Marlene be given $400 to defray some of her expenses associated with attending the conference/convention. The motion carried. Judy Wilkinson made a motion that BRLC donate $50 as an affiliate to the Braille Challenge. This motion was carried. Steve Fort reiterated that two BRLC members had volunteered to serve on the BRLC Constitution and Bylaws Committees, and he asked that others wishing to serve on that committee see him at the break. Linda Perel mentioned that someone asked what the Braille Challenge was, and explanations were given by Keith Johnson and Roger Peterson. They stated that the Braille Challenge was a competition among students from across the country from kindergarten through 12th grade, measuring their competency in the reading, writing, and transcription of Braille. Regional competitions are held around the country, and their winners compete in Los Angeles in June. Kathy Skyvers asked how checks for donations to the Braille Challenge should be written. John Ross stated that donations to the Braille Challenge should be made payable to BRLC. Kathy Skyvers also complimented Mike Keithley on his editing of the Braille Writer, and he received another well-deserved round of applause. For our fundraiser, we sold Katrina's Wonderful Fudge, which sold for $2 per bag and three bags for $5. Pam Shore, who was at that time not a member of BRLC, stated that she had taught herself Braille and spoke eloquently and enthusiastically about Braille. She suggested that BRLC conduct an outreach program in the schools to teach children about the power of Braille. Kathy Skyvers stated that she had done this in the Alameda school system for 2 years, that her presentation had been well received, and that Pam's suggestion remains a valuable one today. Roger Peterson invited Pam to become a member of BRLC, noting her enthusiasm for Braille. The BRLC business meeting was adjourned at 9:52 a.m. The BRLC speakers meeting began at 10 a.m. on Friday, April 12, 2013. Rob Turner gave a presentation on Bookshare. He stated that Bookshare now has over 250,000 members and over 185,000 titles. He said that books were available on Daisy Text, Daisy Audio, and both Daisy Text and Audio, so that people could listen to a book and get the spelling of a word if needed. To combat the problem of zipping and unzipping books, he mentioned a web reader which would allow you to read a book directly from the website. Finally, he mentioned a new project called MathML, which would allow textbooks with mathematical equations to be transcribed. At the conclusion of his presentation, he gave his contact information so he could be contacted with questions. His email address is robt@bookshare.org. His phone number is 650-644-3422. Customer service can also be reached at support@bookshare.org. Following Rob's presentation, there was a question and answer session. After the question and answer session, Dr. Sharon Sachs was introduced. Dr. Sachs is the curriculum director at the California School for the Blind in Fremont. She spoke about the Braille Challenge. As noted above, she stated that the Braille Challenge was a competition among children from kindergarten through 12th grade to measure Braille competency. The Braille Challenge contains five tests. They are spelling, reading comprehension, proofreading, charts and graphs, and speed and accuracy. Dr. Sachs went on to describe each of the tests in some detail. She explained that not all of the students take all five tests, since younger children are still developing their Braille skills, but there is stiff competition at all levels. Nonetheless, these competitions are held all across the country, and the winners come to Los Angeles for the finals. There are some nice prizes for students who win regional competitions, and more exciting prizes for national winners. After a short question and answer session, the BRLC speakers meeting was adjourned at 10:35 a.m. Respectfully submitted, Marlene O'Neill, Recording Secretary, BRLC.
Okay, are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? Yes, Roger.
First of all, I don't know, of course, from the recording how it would be installed, but I noticed the bill writer description of this meeting, and this spelled the name of the lady who wrote that, talking about the story of the school.
Sharon Sachs.
Oh, that's the other.
Okay. So you can, Marley, you can call Roger. Also, John Ross is collecting for dues, BRLC dues for 2014. Our usual $20 a year. And John, are we doing the Braille Challenge?
I can't hear. I won't be at our
Yes. Yeah, right. Okay. Okay. I'm going to hand you the mic, John, so you can present your treasurer's report. Oh, I'm sorry. is there a motion to approve the minutes as correct, as amended? And is there a second? Okay, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The minutes have been approved as amended. Okay, now, John, for your treasurer's report.
Okay, the beginning balance as of June 1st $3,437 with a deposits of $90, and there were no expenditures from that time up until now, so the end balance was $3,527. Thank you. $3,527.83.
Okay, is there a motion to, or first of all, are there any questions concerning the treasurer's report? I'll entertain a motion to, approve the treasurer's report as presented. Is there a second? Okay. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We have some amendments to the proposed amendments to the Constitution, and Rex Ransom is going to read the proposed amendments, the original language and then the proposed language, and we'll go through those. And I want to thank the members of the committee, Keith Johnson, Mike Keithley, Linda Perel, Roger Peterson, and last but not least, Marlene O'Neill, who diligently noted the proposed language of the amendments and sent us all emails. So I'm going to turn this microphone over to Rex Ransom, and welcome back. Thank you for coming all the way from the highest hill in El Segundo. Here's Rex.
Okay, good morning. We're going to start off here with Article 5, meetings, the original language in Article 5, Section 1, convention. A regular meeting of BRLC shall be held twice a year to be known as the convention, unless otherwise decided by a majority vote of the membership. The convention shall be held in conjunction with the fall and spring convention of the California Council of the Blind. the proposed language, Article 5.1 Convention, now states, a regular meeting of BRLC shall be held annually to be known as conference / convention unless otherwise decided by a majority vote of the membership. The conference / convention shall be held in conjunction with the conference / convention of the California Council of the Blind. And that ends that particular one.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve? Are there any questions? Okay. Is there a second? Okay, discussion. Any discussion? Yes, I believe so. Any further discussion on that amendment? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The amendment passes unanimously.
Just so that you guys can figure this out a little later, this was on page 5. And I marked the pages down here so I know where we're at. The next one is on page 7. This is the original language, article. I don't even know my Roman numerals here. 6, section. VI, yes. VI. VI's. Section 3. Section 3, terms of office. The members of the board shall be elected for a term of 2 years, which shall commence at the close of the convention at which the election takes place and shall end at the close of the convention 2 years thereafter. The president, the vice president, treasurer, and director 1 shall be elected at the spring membership meeting in even numbered years. The recording secretary, corresponding secretary, and director 2 shall be elected at the fall membership meeting in even numbered years. No person shall be elected to the same position for more than 2 consecutive terms, but may be eligible for election after an absence of 1 term. Partial terms shall not count in determining eligibility. The proposed language, Article 3, that's Article 6.3, Term of Office. The members of the Board of Directors shall be elected for a term of 2 years, which shall commence at the close of the conference / convention at which the election takes place and shall end at the end of the conference / convention 2, that's number 2, years thereafter. The president, the vice president, treasurer, director 1 shall be elected at the membership meeting in even numbered years, and the recording secretary, corresponding secretary, and director 2 shall be elected at the membership meeting in odd numbered years. No person shall be elected to the same position for more than 2 consecutive years. but may be eligible for election after an absence of one, in parentheses, term. Partial term shall not count in determining eligibility.
Okay, is there a motion to approve Amendment 6.3? Yes. Okay, it has been moved and seconded that this amendment be adopted. Is there any discussion? But it actually states terms in the writing, okay, to answer your question. No.
It starts off with years and then it goes down. It has both in there. Let me reread it so we understand it. It starts off, the members of the board of directors shall be elected for a term of 2 years, which shall commence at the close of the conference convention at which the election takes place and shall end at the close of the conference convention 2 years thereafter. The president, vice president, treasurer, and director 1 shall be elected at the membership meeting in even-numbered years. The recording secretary, corresponding secretary, and director 2 shall be elected at the membership meeting in odd-numbered years. No person shall be elected to the same position for more than 2 consecutive terms. But may be eligible for election after the absence of one. That's one term. Partial term shall not be counted in determining eligibility.
Right. So is that, that's clear. Mike, did you have something?
No.
Okay.
So instead of being elected after the
right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, is there any further discussion on the amendment? Hearing none, all in favor of this amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstention? Amendment is unanimously adopted.
Okay.
Thank you. Can everyone hear Linda?
No.
Linda, could you repeat? For, John, can you hear me?
Yeah, and Roger, I don't know if this needs to be a bylaw just for this glitch or whether we need to have another amendment in the Constitution, but the board discussed, since every single member of the board is terming out by the next conference convention in April, that we will elect all of the positions at that time, and then the following year, 2015, we will elect the two secretaries and the one board member in the odd year. So they'll only serve a one-year term and then be up for re-election or elect whoever, and then we'll be in compliance with what we just adopted by having that one. How should we deal with that, Roger?
In October. So we could have the people who are finishing their terms in October wait until, extend their terms by 6 months so they would be reelected in the odd number year in April. So, no. No, the new language says that the president, vice president, and treasurer are elected in the odd numbered years, right? Huh? Even. Okay, next year is an even numbered year, right? 2014, and it says that the corresponding and recording secretary and board and director two are elected in the odd-numbered years. So why not just extend their term until April of 2015?
Well, that's all right.
They can. If they run for... Yeah.
Okay, I wonder if we can close that side door. There's voices out in the hall. And okay, any further discussion? All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Abstention? Amendment is unanimously adopted. Adopted, I'm sorry.
Just a minute. I'm getting my paperwork in some sort of correct order, I think. Okay, I'm ready, and this is the original language, Article 7, Section 3, Nominating Committee. Section 3, Nominating Committee. BRLC shall have a nominating committee which shall be elected at the fall convention in odd-numbered years. The nominating committee shall consist of 5 members, no more than 2, that's 2, of whom may be members of the board of directors. The president and vice president may not serve on the nominating committee. After the nominating committee has been established, the parliamentarian shall convene it and instruct its members concerning their duties. Now, the proposed language of 7.3 Nominating Committee. BRLC shall have a nominating committee which shall be appointed by the president at the conference / convention in odd-numbered years. The nominating committee shall consist of 3 members, no more than 2, that's 2 of whom may be members of the board of directors. The president and vice president may not serve on the nominating committee. After the nominating committee has been established, the parliamentarian shall convene it and instruct its members concerning their duties. Article 8,
Okay, is there a motion to approve the amended language? Second? Is there a second? Okay. Any discussion? Yes, Roger.
I think we may want to amend this. I was just looking at the way this reads, we won't have a nominating committee for this coming April. I think we might want to change it to the conference and convention in even-numbered years. From instead of odd-numbered years. Well, yeah, we could do that. But remember, this is the last fall convention we'll ever have. The other thing is, I think that it might be that since they're not being elected anymore, they're being appointed, that the president really should appoint them before the convention as opposed to at the convention, so they can be looking for candidates. So I would suggest that we might want to amend this amendment to say that the nominating committee shall be appointed prior to the conference and convention in the even-numbered years. And I move that amendment. If you can either, unless you want to call it a friendly amendment, I would be prepared to move that or whatever. How you want to do it. Before the convention, we really want the nominating committee to be working before the convention.
Okay. All right. I'm wondering if we actually need a nominating committee each year. Since we're having elections in each year, why would we want a nominating committee that's going to put up some candidates that aren't going to run until the following year? And obviously we need to get that committee appointed at each convention to serve for the next convention, or at some point close to that next convention. Yeah, so, I mean, if today we could appoint a nominating committee to deal with April, if Steve wanted to do that, or if not, we could pick a date like January 1st or sometime that the committee would be appointed and do its business, but we need one every single year.
You know, the spring and the fall convention, the way it worked was that you elected the nominating committee at the fall convention, and they nominated people for that convention and also for the next one. you could have, and I was assuming that we would keep the nominating committee for two conventions the way we had it before, even though they're now in separate years. But we could have it so the nominating committee is appointed by the president at least, 60 days or something before each convention.
So I believe that we'll be voting on the amendment to the amendment, the friendly amendment, and then we'll vote on the original.
Well, no, I think it's a friendly amendment, right?
Okay. Okay. Since it has been, I presumed it's been moved and seconded. Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor of adopting this amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? The amendment is unanimously adopted. We have a momentary interruption. Actually, if we could defer just for a moment, our delegate Keith Johnson had requested a straw poll as to how we want him to vote at tonight's election, and I forget exactly. Could you apprise me of who's running actually, or for what position? Yeah, Linda.
The one I'm sure that is contested is between Judy and Artis for secretary. I don't know whether anyone's running against me for second vice president.
I just walked back in the room. Did somebody say my name in vain?
Yes. No, we were. What was being proposed, Judy, was that. No, we shouldn't tell you since you left the room. But, there was discussion of having a straw poll about how our delegates should vote, and somebody was saying we don't know, or we've got several elections, we're not sure who's going to run against whom. But what I said was the one we do know about is that Judy and Artis are running for secretary. That's the one we're sure is contested. So whatever you want to do about that, I don't know.
Do we need a straw poll, or can we just continue on with the Constitution? Is that okay with the membership? Okay, for anyone who missed that? Rob would like to move that we support Judy Lorkelson as secretary, recording secretary. Advise, right? That we advise our delegate, right? I don't know that we really need a motion. I think we can just do this.
Okay.
You think? Yeah.
No, what I'm looking for is just an idea of which way I should go.
Well, you've got it.
Yes.
Yes. And we don't know what else is contested, so. And, yes, and Linda Perel. We're getting a little close on time here, so is there any other? Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is page 17. Starts off 2.3 affiliate dues to CCB. Original language. Annual dues to the California Council of the Blind are $50. That's what I'm reading here. It's $50 in parentheses. The first one was written in the last one. Anyway, for any statewide affiliate, irrespective of the number of members, the BRLC treasurer shall send these dues to CCB each spring at a time designated by CCB, along with a roster of paid-up dues. This roster may be updated in the fall according to CCB rules. The proposed language, annual dues to the California Council of the Blind are $50. That's $50 for any statewide affiliate, irrespective of the number of members. The BRLC treasurer shall send these dues to CCB each spring at a time designated by CCB, along with a roster of paid-up members. And that ends
it. Okay, is there any question? Go ahead, Roger.
But we don't need to think about updating it in the fall anymore.
We don't need the language of updating it in the fall anymore. That's, I believe, the change. Is there a motion to adopt? Yeah.
Can people hear me?
Right.
I have is if we put the $50 statement in, then you know, why don't we just leave that first sentence out that states the amount in case, you know, the state changes. Is this a bylaw? Sorry. Okay.
So this is something we can just go ahead and vote on. Okay, is there a motion to amend the bylaws? Is there a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Amendment of the bylaws is adopted.
Oh, okay, this is the bylaws 3, duties of board members. 3.1, the president, original language. The president shall preside at the BRLC membership and board of directors meeting, shall sign all contracts, shall issue vouchers to the treasurer for the payment of bills. It's an, shall direct any paid staff employed by the board of directors. With the consent of the board of directors, the president shall appoint committee chairman, a parliamentarian, and a newsletter editor, and may fill by appointment vacancies which may occur in the offices of recording secretary and treasurer, such interim officers to serve until the next conference/convention. The president may plan the convention program or appoint a program committee. The president may establish and appoint members to routine committees necessary to conduct the business of the organization. The president shall be an ex officio member without a vote of all committees except the nominating committee on which he or she shall not serve. The president of his or her designee shall represent BRLC and cast its vote in other organizations. Now, the proposed language: the president shall preside at BRLC membership and board directors meeting. The board of directors meetings may be held at the conference/convention or via conference call 30 days before the conference convention at the president's direction. The president shall sign all contracts, shall issue vouchers to the treasurer for payment of bills, and shall direct any paid staff employed by the board of directors. With the consent of the board of directors, the president shall appoint committee chairman, a parliamentarian, and a newsletter editor, and may fill by appointment vacancies which may occur in the offices for recording secretary and treasurer, such interim officers to serve until the next conference/convention. The president may plan the conference/convention program or appoint a program committee. The president may establish and appoint members to routine committees necessary to conduct the business of the organization. The president shall be an ex officio member without a vote or all committees except the nominating committee on which he or she may not serve. The president of his or her designee shall represent BRLC and cast its vote in other organizations.
Okay, is there a motion to... is there a second? Okay, discussion.
Somebody else? Oh, I have a couple. I have several things. First of all, could you enlighten me why this is a bylaw, duties of an office, instead of in the Constitution? That's my first question. But I have a couple of other things that I want to say. Does this mean that there's only one board meeting and it's 30 days before the convention? It's what it sounded like. And finally, you can drop the phrase. After you can finish the phrase nominating committee, because you've said he's an ex officio member of all committees except the nominating committee, you've already said elsewhere upon which he cannot serve. So I would suggest you just end the sentence after that word. Now, do I have to make a formal? That seems like a friendly amendment. That part, yeah. Okay.
Okay, first of all, the change in language about the board meeting was to conform to the practice we've been using where the convention, what we used to call the convention board meeting, doesn't happen at the convention. It happens before the convention by teleconference because there's no place on the program for our board meeting anymore. We used to have it on Thursday evening. So we just said we could have it, you know, 30 days before the convention. I suppose it should say either up to 30 days or at least 30 days or something like that. But again, these are sort of bylaws that are implementing what's in the Constitution. And I since that's true, I think that yes, in the Constitution it says that the nominee, that the president and vice president can't be on the nominating committee. But I think since this bylaw is saying the president is an ex officio member of all committees except the nominating committee, it should logically say on which he she shall not serve. In other words, it's not a question of that they shall. It's not a question just of they aren't an ex officio office of member of a committee. They may not even be a member of the committee. So I don't know. I think it's good the way it is. So.
Okay, any further discussion? If not, all in favor of this adoption of the bylaws, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Is that the last one? We have one more. We're going into the business meeting. That's
okay, 4.2, Nominating Committee. Original language, bylaw 4, Section 2, Nominating Committee. Section 2, Nominating Committee. There shall be 5-member nominating committee chosen at the fall convention in odd-numbered years. The board of directors shall choose 2. That's 2 members of the committee, and the membership shall elect 3 others, no more than 2 members of the board of directors may serve on the nominating committee, and these may not be the president or the vice president. After the committee has been established, the parliamentarian shall convene the committee, preside while it elects a chairman and advise the committee concerning its duties, namely to prepare a slate of candidates for regularly elections and those to fill vacancies, and to determine that each candidate is a member in good standing and willing to serve. Proposed language bylaws 4.2, Nominating Committee. There shall be 3-member nominating committee chosen to the conference/convention in odd-numbered years by the president. The president shall appoint 2 members from the board and 1 from the membership. No more than 2 members of the board of directors may serve on the nominating committee, and these may not be the president or the vice president. After the committee has been established, the parliamentarian shall convene the committee, preside while it elects a chairman and advise the committee concerning its duties, namely to prepare a slate of candidates for regular elections, and to those to fill vacancies, and to determine that each candidate is a member in good standing and willing to serve.
Okay, is there a motion to adopt this amended language? Is there a second? There must be a second. Any discussion?
No. We need to change this to correspond to the change we made in the Constitution. It needs to be prior to the convention in the even-numbered years.
A friendly amendment? Okay, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Problem.
So I don't think we want to say. I think that's the gist of it. Yeah.
Oh, so okay. Everyone clear on that language? Whatever slight amendment there was on. Okay, I think okay. I want to thank Rex. Let's give him a big hand. And Rex will be. We're kind of pressed for time, so is there any further business to come before this, the business portion of the meeting? If not, I entertain. Okay. Meeting adjourned. We'll go to the business meeting. Speakers meeting. And just very briefly, Rob, perhaps you could talk about Bookshare, and then we'll turn this over to Lena Dawes, who graciously has been waiting. And okay, Rob.
Okay, thank you, everybody. Let me just start off with my usual. I'll be reading Braille with one hand, but I think I can do it. I always start with the number of new books, which, of course, is now on the homepage, but we're up to 214,644, and like I said, well over 250,000 members. We've got new publishers. I usually go over some of the new publishers. One I'm excited about is Nolo Press. Yeah, they do the books on the self, the legal, you know, self-help. I mean, not self-help, but like preparing wills and all kinds of things like that that are kind of do-it-yourself sort of things. Yes, exactly. Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. No, I don't know about formatting of the forms. You'd have to read the books and find out, I guess. I hope it's good. If not, if there is problems, I'm sorry, if there are problems with the formatting of the forms and stuff, I think that's something you would want to file a book quality report on. And to do that, you just go to the, just like with Bard, there's a title, a link. On the title of the book, you click on that link. It takes you to the book detail page, and then from there down one of the heading levels is a book quality, and you'd be able to submit a book quality report. And we do have publications now from the American Bar Association. We've got something called Chelsea Green. I think they're an educational publisher. Duke University, Cornell University. We've got the National Academies Press, University of North Carolina, also Wesleyan. I'm not sure what they do. We get their electronic format, and that means we don't have to scan. Just a quick reminder as far as those who are reading Braille, you can set your Braille preferences. So, you know, for the correspond with the length of your refreshable Braille display or your embosser. And if you do choose to produce a BRF file that's meant for the embosser, you will get Braille page numbers. That correspond with each of the pages. Of course, those page numbers are suppressed when you choose the refreshable Braille display option, because you know there's no Braille pages as such. So that is one difference between the two formats. And you'll notice that in the download combo box, the preferences, set preferences, is at the very bottom. And, of course, you can also do that through my account. That's the other way to do it. Okay. So that's the thing. I'm excited about our, we're reviewing our Braille output now. Some of the translation issues that we're dealing with, sometimes books, in a sentence, if they're special characters or under certain circumstances, the closing quote is represented as a, I believe it's a .6 followed by dots, 256, which of course is incorrect. And so we're trying to get to the bottom of that. A lot of it, also the ellipsis symbol, sometimes isn't represented correctly. So we're going to be working on that. We're doing a lot of testing right now to just see where we are and what needs to be improved. Also, table handling. We're trying to improve our table handling. Numbered lists, same thing with that. And also, if anyone has feedback as they read our Braille books, please let me know. You've got the contact information for me. I'll give it again at the end of the, which is this brief presentation. And also other ideas for improvements. I want, you know, one possibility might be that we don't zip the BRF files, that we just provide them unzipped. I'd like, you know, if people want to give me feedback on that, that's fine. As far as Bookshare future direction, one of the things that we're starting to really promote is this idea of born accessible. So what that means is, not only would Bookshare be just offering services to students, we'd be working directly with publishers to make sure that when they publish the book that it's accessible from the very beginning, which would mean they'd either be, probably they would be producing an actual DAISY book. And we know that, at least for the time being, that's not going to cover everything, but that's a future direction. We're hoping that more and more books are born accessible. We're working a heck of a lot now with STEM, that's the Science, Technology, Engineering, and Math, working very hard to make sure that math is represented correctly, you know, through MathML. I know I talked about that last time, and that's still ongoing. It's taking a lot longer than we would have thought. Also, our Diagram Center, that's the image description, basically graphics and image description. Our software tool is becoming more robust as time goes on. It's called Poet is the name of the software that's used to insert these image descriptions into the books. And so that's a very important. And in the future, we're also starting to emphasize our members for veterans. We're working on, we want to work with some of the returning veterans that have brain injuries and reading difficulties. Also, we'll be working to try to keep some of the college graduates, keep them interested in continuing to get books from Bookshare. And that's pretty much all I had. Again, my contact information, you can send ROBT, that's Rob T for Turner, at Bookshare.org, or you can call me at 650-644-3422. And if you have any suggestions, especially regarding Braille, that's my interest right now. So thanks, everybody.
Okay, this thank you very much, Rob. This next person really needs no introduction. She's fulfilled a number of positions within CCB, and I really apologize for the lateness and the little time we have left. Anyway, without any further ado, I want to introduce Lena Dawes, who will conduct a spelling bee. I mean, Braille bee, I'm sorry. Here, Lena.
Okay, so we have about 10 minutes, it looks like. Is that correct? Can I get... Okay. So we're going to have to do this a little differently. So I'm going to throw out a word or a Braille question, and I'm going to need people to say their name if they want to answer, since I can't see raised hands. And while I have the microphone, John, if you're still here, I have dues for you. okay, so, and I'm going to, you know, try to trick people. So, the first word is timer. Timer, T-I-M-E-R. How would you write that in Braille? Yes? That is incorrect. Maria? That's correct. Dot five T-R. Dot five T for time, and then an R. Uh-huh. Okay, since Rob mentioned it, how would you write an ellipsis? Which dot, please? Actually, Roger's correct. It's dot three. But you did get the punctuated aspect correct of the space before and after. Well, that too, yes. Okay. How would you write the word blinded? Blinded, B-L-I-N-D-E-D. That's not correct. That would be bled. Larry was first, and Keith? Correct. That is correct. Yeah. Yeah. How would you write the word mistake? Mistake. That's correct. Who is that? Michael? Mike? Mike, good job. What? Yes, yeah, so the word is mistake. It's a take it, since take is the root word and miss is a prefix, you can't use the ST sign. Okay. How would you write the name, the last name, Goodman? Yes, Keith? That is incorrect. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes, it's a name, so that part's right. That is correct. The rule there is because it's not a form of good, such as goodly, goodness, etc., it has to be spelled out. Okay, yes. So, how would you write the word sphere? No, sorry. S-P-H-E-R-E, sphere. Yes? That is correct. Question is, do you know why? Okay. So, yeah. Mhm. Yes, and that's part of it. Yes. The rule is with dot five contractions, you can't use it unless it has the sound of the contraction. Ever, so ever, here, as opposed to sphere. It's not there anyway. It's not in, it wouldn't, oh, percept, oh, yeah, yeah, no, you couldn't do that. No. What is the one exception to that rule? And I said it in the question. Hearing silence. The answer is one. O-N-E. Honesty. For example. Yep. Yes. Yes, and that's correct, and that's what I was giving as an example, because you can use that, you can use it with most money. Yes. Yes. How about loner? Loner, L-O-N-E-R. That's correct, and that's a syllable issue. Mm-hmm. Trying to teach you. That's I know. And yes, I am trying to confuse you. No. No. Well, yeah. Let's see. How would you write troubled? Okay. Oh, yeah, you got it. Yes. Yes, that's correct. I see a lot of people wanting to put an ED. Even if they write the BLE, they want to put the ED. Mm-hmm. How would you write nationality? Yes. Yes, I did. Very good. Yes. Well, we're not there yet, so we're still using our current Braille, so okay. me neither. That's interesting. Okay. That's interesting. I hadn't seen it yet, so okay. Speaking of which, what is how would you write D, like Grand Ballroom D, correctly? How would you write the, hi guys, how would you write the D in Grand Ballroom D correctly? Yes, which is what dots? Yes. There you go. Yes. Oh, okay, I get it. Uh-huh. So I would probably put a hyphen and do both letter signs, but technically, yes, because that's how you write CD. So it would work, instead of, you know, instead of could, you'd put a letter sign. So in what cases can you write letters without a letter sign? Like, not meaning like an S or something like that where you can, what? Initials, that's one. There's one more that I can think of. Only if it's like in a initials or, you know, like PM or something. You wouldn't do it by itself, no. Well, yes, but what I'm thinking of is like South Elm Street. You can you don't have to do the letter sign there. Yeah. So it's like an initial, but it's a specific form of writing. Mm. That's right. Well, yeah, exactly. So, but that, just to save, I would put the letter sign in front of all of it. There's a name. There's a name that if you write it, you have to put a letter sign, otherwise it means something else. Can you think of what that is? Uh-huh. Yes, Al. Yep. That's correct. Yeah, letter sign capital. Oh, okay, let me know when. Yeah, just let me know when, because my time is loud, so I wasn't checking my iPhone, kind of. So, how about... Okay, thank you. Let's see. How many spaces are in the phrase of and for the blind? That's not true. One. Yes, the unblind. That's not cool. I haven't done that yet. Okay. Can anyone name the four or five contractions? Word and those. These. Okay, this was the last question. Whose? And there's one more, I think, that... So we have word, those, these, and whose. We have one more. Yay! So the sentence for that is, upon my word, these are those whose dots are 4 and 5. And with that, it looks like we're done.
I'm here. Hold on, Steve.
I want to thank Lena, who's did such a wonderful job under extenuating circumstances, and maybe if you're so inclined, we could come back another time and we could have a longer session and perhaps do this, because it really captivates the interest of the members, I know, and it's good education for me. And let's give Lena a big hand. Well, thank you, Lena, and I want to thank everyone for coming and for participating and getting through all these changes that we're having to make. And with that, I will say goodbye for now, and thank you. This next meeting will be my last, so think of who might want to run as president. So, without any further business, is there a motion to adjourn? Second. I'll signify by saying aye. Opposed. Abstentions. Thank you all for coming. Thank you very much.
I'm right over. And I have the microphone.
Okay. Is there? Thank you.
Pushy chair.
I don't know how to turn this off to save the battery. Do you think we need to do that?
Let me look at it. Maybe I can figure out.
Just try this.
Do anything.
Yeah.
Any notes, whatever you got.
Right. I'm going to. Good. I will. Okay.
I'll see your way.
You don't need to, Ed. You.
I want to see how it works. If it doesn't, we're going to
mess with you. Well, okay.
I think
gonna...
this might work.
Let's see. Just.
Let's see if they've got it turned up. Yeah, you're hot.
Welcome to Victor Reader.
I'm going to play a book.
bookshelf.
Hang on.
One book. First of all, go to book. Create temporary playlist. Durand, go to book one.
Hang on, I will.
Volume 15.
Let me just, I'm just going to get to a file that I can play. Where is it? Okay.
Podcasts.
Okay, I'm going to play something.
Airplane mode on.
Press key 7 to config
podcast from BBC Radio 4.
It doesn't.
I thought Tony had dropped it off on Friday, and he thought I'd done it. Sure, just wouldn't mind if it's late. Well, it's only cash, but even better. What about the party? How did that go? Oh, a big success as far as we can tell. And they'll be here themselves.
Okay, I think this will work. I'm just going to... okay, hang on.
Volume 15. Volume 15.
I'm going to change my speed.
Speed.
To looks all right to me. I'm on the way down there now to pick me roses. Oh, yes, yes. This afternoon show.
Good. Yeah, good, thanks.
Oh, so which roses are these? The yellow one?
Bookshelf.
Great.
Podcasts.
Yeah, I'm going to get...
141. Books. One.
Archers. Archer Sumney 2013 to 9-22.
Okay, I've got a lot of notes here. Got a lot of notes. No, Steve, you can stay there. There's more room. Where's Carly? I lost Carly. There she is. Carly. She said, "Mama, let me know." That was a mistake. Steve, I'm going to ask you to hold her. Okay, would you, okay, Steve, you're in the chair.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I just need to.
It's okay.
Hi there, there's Andrea. There's...
I'm here.
Hello, here you go. Okay, right, all right, that's fine then, that's good. It's your, well, just sit right next to me now, Steve. Steve, sit next to me.
Smell good, girl.
Hello there, hi, Josie.
Is it okay if I sit here, Judy?
Of course it is.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Glasses here? Okay,
sure.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Sit in the first chairs you find.
I'm not late, am I?
No. Okay. It's just about time we're going to start.
Okay, good.
Bonnie? Get my... Hello there.
Bonnie, where are you? Oh, okay. Hello.
Yes, it is. It's the library users.
I'm sitting over here with Judy.
Hi, Evelyn.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I should have asked.
Oh, Evelyn and Gloria are maybe here. Hello there. I know we have a fairly small group, but they're going to be so appreciative.
Well,
and then at the luncheon, we'll have more.
Well, you know what? This group is absolutely lovely, and I so look forward to giving a short speech and sharing and discussing.
Absolutely.
Ruby
I'm going to allow you plenty. That's wonderful. I'm going to allow you plenty of time.
Fantastic. I'm going to go sit with Bonnie, I think.
Okay. That's
my chapter.
Okay.
Okay.
Judy? Yes.
Maria,
yes.
Mitchell gave me...
Yes, she. I know she did me too, but we can't. And she wants them to give them at the luncheon, but we really can't. We should really put it into the convention, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
There's no way because we can't draw cards here. Okay, I think that's right. You're supposed to be. She's here. She's right here. Here's the leash. Here's the leash. Now, Carly, sit and down. Sit and down.
Yes, let me give you the other one. She gave me two.
But she gave me one also. When I'm making people push-ups with the eight. And one from BRLC and one from CLUA.
Don't you think?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 10:47. I'm going to call this meeting to order, and I hope this is going to work. I'm going to play you something, and here we go.
But there's one day that I recall, though it was years ago. All my life I will remember it, I know. I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to bear. The day I read a book. It's a...
Could somebody shut the door, please? Yeah, we're just going to shut the door.
Or when Winchell first shouted, flash.
Here we go, again.
But there's one day that I recall, though it was years ago. All my life I will remember it, I know. I'll never forget the day I read a book. It was contagious, 70 pages. There were pictures here and there, so it wasn't hard to bear. The day I read a book. It's a shame I don't recall the name of the book. It wasn't a history, I know, because it had no plot. It wasn't a mystery, because nobody there got shot. The day I read a book, I can't remember when, but one of these days I'm gonna do it again.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I'm calling this meeting of the library, California Library Users, to order. And I'm going to talk more about using this Jimmy Durante theme song as our Kahlua theme to get members, and perhaps to put as a motto on some fundraising items, such as, say, totes or mugs. How about, I'll never forget the day I read a book? Is that a good motto? I'm going to begin by reading the minutes from the previous meeting. I want to move very fast here. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. I did send them out to the listserv. Just for a minute, tell me how many people read the minutes on the listserv. Say aye.
Aye.
Oh, I'm so pleased. You know what? Before we do another thing, we have to go around the room and tell who's here. And I'm going to give away a little secret. We have a fabulous speaker for our meeting and for our luncheon meeting, Laura Marlowe. Laura, would you take the microphone around and let each person and hold it up and just tap the person on the shoulder and hold it in front of them, and then they can say their name and where they're from.
You got it.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
I'm Pam Metz from Southern California, L.A.
I'm Allison Deppner. I'm from San Diego.
I'm Mike Keithley. I'm from Mountain View.
Rob Turner, Sunnyvale.
Oh. I'm Steve Fort from the island of Alameda, right across from the bay from San Francisco.
I like that.
Steve Mendelson, San Leandro.
Gloria Broderick, Vice President of Kahlua from Pasadena, California.
Bonnie Rennie, Santa Ana, Orange County.
Andrea Pitzenberger from Orange, President of the Orange County Chapter.
Hi, it's Alice McGrath from Sunnyvale.
Hey, Rob. Hi.
Evelyn Drury from Ramona, California. That's near San Diego.
Hello. Larry Freeman, San Diego, California. San Diego Chapter.
Katrina McCurdy from Union City, California.
Me?
Yes, please.
Sam Doherty from San Francisco.
Thank you.
Maria Mitchell. I'm from San Lorenzo, also known as the Village or Via Land.
Hi. Lena Dawes, Sacramento, Butte County Council of the Blind.
Anthony Signorello from Burbank Glendale Chapter, Los Angeles.
Thank you so much, Anthony. Thank you, Judy. And
well, I may call on you again if people need to speak to run it. May I do that?
You absolutely may.
I put you on the spot here. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, minutes, California Library. Could you do me one more favor? Hold the mic while I read. Oh, this lady is awesome. Minutes, California Library Users of America, April 12, 2013. The Kahlua meeting was called to order by our president, Judy Wilkinson, on Friday, April 12, 2013, at approximately 10:45 a.m. All present identified themselves, and it was determined that a quorum was present. I'm not sure how that was happening. There were no minutes of the last meeting because Secretary Ann Kaiser doesn't feel that she can serve in that capacity at this time. Judy appointed Debbie Barry as secretary, and Judy and Debbie will work together to create minutes for the last two meetings from recordings kept by CCB. Treasurer's report. The treasurer's report was given by Peter Pardini. Beginning balance 585 even, ending balance 99509. But we have not paid new dues to the national organization yet, which is $12 per member, and we have 26 members. There was some confusion because some people say they have paid both Kahlua and the national organization. Let Judy or Peter know if you have paid to them both so that that can be straightened out. Peter will collect dues after the meeting today or during lunch. The treasurer's report was accepted. Judy said that the listserv is up and running, and this will be used in Kahlua, especially now since we're going to one meeting per year, and we'll keep in contact throughout the year, either on the listserv or by phone, so no one will be left out. Judy is committed to growing our membership since there's been a drop in membership this year. Some people didn't receive their notices to pay dues, and this year we'll organize our membership list so that members will receive their notices in a timely manner, so they'll have enough time and notice to pay their dues. Nominating committee report. Nominating committee report was given by Steve Fort. We will have elections in the fall for three positions: second vice president, treasurer, and one of the board of directors. The slate of officers proposed by the nominating committee are Gloria Broderick, vice president, Peter Pardini, treasurer, Connie Bateman for the board of directors. Judy encouraged other members to run for these offices because it's very healthy for an affiliate to have more than one candidate running for positions and elections. Constitution and bylaws. Steve Mendelson presented the committee report. Steve Fort and Gloria Broderick are also on this committee. There will be changes in the Constitution since we're only having one meeting per year. This year, Kahlua members will be able to have a part of the process of revising our Constitution. Issues to be considered include Kahlua's relationship with the national organization, how officers will be elected, how meetings will be held in a more timely manner, and our purpose and mission. It is hoped that the revised Constitution can be presented to the membership at the fall meeting. Judy added that we shouldn't just revise the Constitution, but recreate it. An electronic of the Constitution will be posted on the listserv, and members will be polled to see who wants Braille copies. At least two conference calls will be scheduled in the late spring or early summer so we can give input to the committee, and very specific questions will be asked so we'll have guidelines to consider before the discussion. Judy encouraged people to participate in these phone conferences, especially if we're unable to officially vote at the fall convention. Peter suggested that we have a fall conference call business meeting before adopting the new constitution. Fundraising. There will be a craft fair at the fall convention. This is all so old news, isn't it? Members are encouraged to contribute. Judy suggested that we sell jewelry, the Kahlua with some Kahlua design. Also suggested we're selling braille print, magnets, key rings, or customized or monogrammed flash drives or mouse pads, charms, mugs, or tote bags. All of these ideas will be considered by the fundraising committee that Judy will appoint. Mike Marlin, Talking Book Librarian at the Sacramento Library, talked about magazines on cartridges, smartphone and LS apps, and the BARD upgrade so the Braille books can also be downloaded. The Sacramento Library DVD titles to their descriptive video services have been added, he said. He also discussed other sources to obtain books besides NLS. The meeting was adjourned at approximately 12 o'clock p.m., respectfully submitted, Debbie Berry. We need a motion. Moved and seconded that the minutes be accepted. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay, I'm going to quickly go on to read my president's report. I often send a newsletter around this time of year, but really this is my president's report, which I am sending rather than taking the time to read. Notice I'm going to read it, though, because I realize we have members who aren't yet on the listserv, and for the record, because this is being recorded and people can download this, you see. But I change my mind a lot. What can I say? This decision to submit my report in writing is part of and parcel of our need to communicate with each other more and more through our list and via telephone. More about that telephone part later in this report. Besides, this report will be fairly long. I am less likely to ramble. Okay. There is both good news and bad news about having the luxury of written minutes taken by an actual secretary. The good news, we have a record of all we decided to accomplish and enact. The bad news, we have a record of all we decided to accomplish and enact. Especially, I have a list of all I was supposed to accomplish and didn't. I'll get my excuses and explanations out of the way here at the beginning. In a word, I spent literally dozens and dozens of hours this summer as one of the two CCB board liaisons working with our statewide affiliate Guide Dog Users of California, getting that fine affiliate back in good working order. I think you'll be impressed with GDUC's board's efforts, and I encourage all current, former, and prospective members to attend their business meeting on Saturday morning. But now back to our own affiliate. Not to mince words, I let our affiliate interests slide, but I'm back in the saddle or harness, and you'll find much information about my two main interests, growing our affiliate and growing our treasury, below. As to minutes, thanks to Debbie for getting our spring minutes out in a timely manner. Though she can't attend our meeting Friday, she will be using the recording as a means of creating minutes. Speaking of recordings, the reason we don't have minutes for the meetings Anne missed, because recordings were not made for those meetings before last spring. Now that we have the new forms to submit for our convention needs, this will not happen again. Should you wish to listen to the recording of last spring's meeting from the CCBNet site, follow the past conventions link and then the audio archives link to find recordings from former conventions. And of course, soon after this convention, our business meeting, as well as our luncheon, will be available for audio listening and downloading. Treasury update. I want to go on record thanking Peter Pardini for his years of service as Kahlua's treasurer. Time after time, when no one else would step up to the plate, Peter took on the job. He now asks us to find someone else because of his heavy responsibilities as CCB treasurer. I don't know the exact amount we'll have when Peter presents his final report, but I think you'll all be pleased. Growing our membership. My first part here, I talk about the song, which we did just play for you, and which I'll provide a link for, so that if people want the song for themselves, they can have it. But I propose to blanket all of our listservs and our website to increase our membership. We all read. There is every reason for every CCB member to join us. And I think we will be using this motto to get members. I'll never forget the day I read a book. With its much more stringent requirements for record keeping, I've been struggling with creating an accurate roster. Working with our new treasurer, we'll be sending each of you an electronic dues renewal notice and Braille, if at all possible, which will ask you to fill out and return in addition to your contact details. We want to know if we are your home chapter or a second chapter, as well as your status as a blind, visually impaired, or sighted member. Once the treasurer receives your payment, you'll receive an actual receipt. Please only pay dues to CLUA. It's confusing to all of us if you pay dues to the national affiliate LUA. So when we think you've joined them both, we want to assure you that as our constitution is currently designed, your $20 Kahlua dues pays your Lua dues as well. I want to say a word here about our list. For every person who cannot access the list, we will be assigning a partner to read them things, to get the information to our non-electronic members. So I don't want anyone to say, well, they're doing everything by phone and they're doing everything on this list, I can't join. Not the case at all. We will definitely accommodate our members who don't have that facility. A little more about dues. I know it seems, as if you've just paid your 2013 dues, but because of the changed reporting requirement dates and Lua's membership year, which begins on January 1, we desperately need you to pay your 2014 dues by December 31st, 2013. I will be at a table during the lunch, and I will be collecting dues and making note. If you do pay cash, I will see that you get a receipt as soon as the convention is over. I plan to have, So we, Constitution and Bylaws update. I had warned you that rewriting our Constitution would be more than just revising a few dates in response to our move from 2 to 1 conventions per year, but little did I realize how complex a job rewriting it would be. Quite frankly, in working with the Guide Dog Users affiliate and sitting in on the BRLC meeting this morning, I came to realize how much a constitution is the bedrock of guiding how the affiliate works in smooth and troubled times. In short, we must write our constitution to meet any and all foreseeable eventualities. As a lawyer I know once said, unfortunately, we must write our document as if we might all become enemies one day. To that end, our committee, chaired by Steve Mendelson, ably assisted by Gloria and Steve Ford, will bring the Constitution to the Spring Convention. And I'll shortchange sort of the rest of this, that we will indeed have the calls, as I said we should have done in the summer. We will have input on the list. In fact, when you get home, those of you who haven't checked your email lately, you will find that you have received a copy of our current constitution. You'll now, fundraising, again, I'm not going to spend too much time on this. I will appoint a committee by November 1st, and I'm hoping that that committee will suggest the approval of not only, I'm going to ask the membership here after I finish the report to approve moving our crafts fair once again to the spring, but adding to that some kind of raffle so that we can sort of get more bang for our, you know, for our buck. Okay, I thank people who have already done some crafts, and those of you who have seen that know that I've thanked a number of people, in Joan and Lori and Pam and Linda Amati, I don't want to shortchange anybody. Hope I've remembered everybody. We really will splash out for this fundraiser with some flyers, and maybe we'll do a definitely advertising next time. Maybe an ad in the program. Again, this is all to be worked out by our fundraising committee. It's never early, though. And we also may want to think about what we might want to do next summer at the ACB convention, which will be held in Las Vegas. And they have a lot of opportunities for affiliates to sell their wares or to promote a product. We might very well want to have a raffle there. And again, this committee is going to be thinking about some kind of specialized Kahlua item that we may want to have. Please, if you have any thoughts, anything, we're going to be rushing with this meeting today, but you can reach me in several ways. My home phone number is 510-357-1844. My cell is 510-388-5079. And, of course, my email is judy.wilkinson, W-I-L-K-I-N-S-O-N, at ccbnet.org. And you can write us all on the list, which is CLUA-L at ccbnet.org. That's my report, ladies and gentlemen. I don't think there's a motion to accept it, but that's it. Thank you. I'd like to move right on to elections. And as Linda Perel pointed out to me, I didn't do what I was supposed to do constitutionally, and it wouldn't be the first, and I fear, given what I just read in the Constitution, it won't be the last. But be that as it may, we've had a little bit of shuffling of the slate due to Peter's decision not to run again as treasurer. I want to there he is. Peter, did you hear me? Did you hear us? Thank you. Were you in the room? I'm going to get to your. You know what? Let's have Peter's treasurer report before we do elections, so that if you need to get back to other duties, okay. But I think we. It really does follow logically to have your report. So let's hear from our wonderful, hardworking CCB treasurer. And our own Kahlua treasurer.
Thank you, Judy and members. California Chapter Library Users of America Treasurer's Report for the period April 14, 2013 to October 18, 2013. Beginning balance, $995.09. We had deposits for 12 member dues in the amount of $20 each. Total deposits, $240. We have disbursements for Kahlua membership dues. LUA membership dues in the amount of, we had 35 members at $12 per member. That's a total of $420. Our ending balance is $815.09. That concludes the treasurer's report.
I need a motion. It has been moved and second to do it. I forget. Do we accept, adopt? We accept the treasurer's report. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Thank you very much. $815, ladies and gentlemen. We have never had so much money, but, you know, we need more, and I've said all I'm going to say right now on that score. So let's move on to our elections. I want to say a special thank you, if I haven't said it enough, to Gloria Broderick, who has served as an officer in this organization. Gloria, how many years? 10, 15? Okay, well, but I have really counted on, Gloria has been very helpful to me because she does have the organizational history. She was there when the Constitution was originally written. She is on the constitutional laws, bylaws now, and she has agreed to run for treasurer. So, of course, then I had already been approached by someone who said, if Gloria ever doesn't want to be vice president, I would consider it. And that is our good friend from the Silicon Valley chapter, Susan Glass, who is not at this convention, but has expressed her willingness to run. The other candidate submitted by the nominating committee remains Connie Bateman, whose term is up and who is obviously willing to run again. So, the nominating committee I need someone to put a name in for vice president, a nomination for vice president. Could I ask, we need everybody on the mic for the recording, so anytime anybody wants to speak. What happened to my lady here? Oh, Peter can run. Peter, if you're standing.
Madam President, I'd like to nominate Susan Glass for Vice President.
Opposed? Abstain? Thank you. Steve, I was about ready to take Carly away from you. I forgot you're holding her. She chews all my knitting in my bag if I let her under the table and I'm conducting this meeting. She goes for the stuff in my bag. Okay, now we need a nomination for treasurer. Pam, why don't I just hand you the mic and you nominate a treasurer?
I nominate Gloria Broderick for treasurer.
I'm sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Okay. Board of Directors nominee is Connie Bateman, and so we don't need to have a formal nomination for her. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? Are there any other nominations from the floor? It has been moved and seconded. The nominations be closed. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We elect Connie by acclamation, as we did the other two as well. Thank you. Okay, want to have a report from Rob, a little bit about Bookshare, and then I think we can move right on to our guest, and then if there's time at the end, I'll have a few more words, but I want to allow plenty of time for these other wonderful things to happen. So I'm going to ask this is from Tinkers to Everest to Chance. Wilkinson to Fort to...
So this is a double play, essentially. I did this report earlier. So there we go. All right. How many books in the Bookshare collection? 214,644. Yes, it's on the homepage now. You can always find out for yourself. So I'm not really telling you anything new. But I will say that we have quite a few new publisher partnerships, including Nolo Press. They do a lot of the legal help books and other helpful projects and so forth. We've got Houghton Mifflin Harcourt. That's a big publisher. The American Bar Association now is providing a lot of material. Chelsea Green, don't know too much about them. We've got several universities, including Duke University, Cornell, the Wesleyan, the National Academies Press, and that's about all for the new publishers. I wanted to talk a little bit about letting you know that we're involved in basically testing our current Braille translation software. We use a package called LibLui. It's an open source Braille translator, and we're up to the current version now. So if anybody has, as you read Braille books and you discover errors that you, especially errors that are patterns, you know, that are kind of occurring frequently, you know, report those. Click on the book's title link and then file a book quality report, because we're anxious to learn as much as we can about any problems with our Braille. We already know quite a few of them, but your feedback is definitely welcome. As far as future direction for Bookshare, we've got a concept called Born Accessible. And what this means is that we'll be working increasingly with publishers to help them ensure that when they publish a book, that it's born accessible, that it's already going to be accessible. They may publish the Daisy book themselves, for example. So that's something I'm excited about. Another very important mission for Bookshare concerns students. Most of our funding comes from the Department of Education, so we're working on the accessibility of STEM, which is the scientific, and it's engineering and math, technology, science, technology, engineering, and math. And that includes a language called MathML, which is basically stands for math markup language, and what that's going to enable equations and graphs and various items to be actually spoken correctly, and so that's upcoming. We have we're going to be emphasizing working with returning veterans with brain injuries, and also we want to try to improve our retention of college graduates to hopefully keep them interested in coming back to Bookshare for additional reading material. That's pretty much my report. You can feel free to contact me if you have questions, robt@bookshare.org or 650-644-3422. And if you have any concerns, you know, let me know. And my current job, I think, as I said before, is still in quality assurance testing. So, thanks.
Hand it back to me. Actually, you know me, I have a couple of more things that I need to bring to our attention here, and I need some input as to how to proceed, because I'm really not quite sure here. We, you know, will only have one convention next year, and I should have, and we haven't revised our constitution yet. So we need to think about what to do for the three of us whose offices come due in the fall of next year. It seems to me we have two choices. We can have those officers run in the spring or extend those terms until spring of 2015. We will have a new constitution in spring. And again, this is a little unorthodox, but what do you, can we have some thoughts about whether we think it's maybe the best way to go to extend? That would be my term, Debbie Barry's term, and Pamela Metz's term. Those terms would be extended to 2015. Yes, could you send the mic to...
Madam President, this is Gloria Broderick, and I'd like to suggest that I make a motion that we suspend the Constitution and extend the officer's term to 2015.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I wanted to make, that you wouldn't be suspending the Constitution because you're dealing with a situation here which is not contemplated by the Constitution one way or another. So you're, in effect, creating essentially an ad hoc provision to deal with bridging the gap between one Constitution and another.
Would you consider that a friendly amendment? Okay.
Okay, so the friendly amendment is basically, and we'll get it, you know, in the minutes, to do whatever you said, Steve.
It's like an ad-hoc.
An ad hoc provision to bridge the gap. Okay. Between constitutions. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain. Okay. Okay. I'm delighted to turn them... To turn the microphone over to our wonderful board member, Pamela Metz, who's going to introduce our speaker.
Good morning, everybody. I met Laura almost, it's been a year, June, at an animal rescue in Sherman Oaks. And it was sweet because she came over with her diva dog, Chloe. And believe me, Chloe is a diva. She's a diva. She truly is. And she spoke to me, and she introduced herself. And Kingston just looked at her dog like, yeah, right, whatever, and went back to sleep. So he just like, I don't care. So, no, I'm not. So the reason why I asked Laura to speak, number one, she's written two fantastic books for kids, and I think they're just great. Number two, she had them done, she actually found someone to do them in Braille. So, and so I think she's an amazing lady. I call her the Pied Piper of dogs because all the dogs just follow her. And you'll see when she starts to speak. So I'm introducing Laura Marlowe.
I love your group. Thank you so much, Pam, and thank you so much, Judy. I really appreciate the invitation to appear here this morning. Yes, it is true that I have a diva dog. I'm very ashamed to admit it, but this is how she was born, and she loves humans, but she doesn't care for her own species, and it's a real drag. But that's another story for another time. Pam can tell you much, much more. As an author, literacy advocate, and avid reader, I have a deep appreciation for reading enrichment organizations and learning centers and libraries, some of the places where I'm invited to present and where I enjoy meeting and speaking with fans. My first children's book, Tommy the Throwaway Dog, is based on a true story with a happy ending, and has educated and inspired not only youngsters, but folks of all ages. They take delight in the illustrations, in learning about Tommy and the kind people involved in his story, and the fact that my love of reading led me to a news article about Tommy, which inevitably led to my idea for the book. Ruby Dee and the Lazy Day, my second children's book, is a fictional tale that was inspired partly by my observations of kangaroos in the wild. The book's color illustrations and the story's theme of the consequence of laziness have been well appreciated by children, parents, teachers, and others in the educational field. My books are included in a variety of libraries, schools, animal shelters, and home library shelves, and even used by many rescue groups and owners of certified therapy dogs that are involved in the Canine Library Reading Companion programs. Both books are available for order in Braille through the Midwestern Braille Volunteers of St. Louis, and Tommy is also available as a musically enhanced and narrated Apple iTunes iBook. Yes, it is quite wonderful. It took a heck of a lot of work to have that created. That is Apple iTunes iBook. Tommy the Throwaway Dog. That's right, Tommy the Throwaway Dog. And it is wonderful because both of these have fulfilled my wish for the visually impaired to also be able to enjoy and learn from my books while they enhance their literature and literacy skills and their personal libraries. To date, I have replied to 1,000 student and teacher letters, and I have answered hundreds of questions from thousands of people in person, a very favorite part of my job. Well, one of the most important aspects of my book-related work is the opportunity to discuss the book's themes and the importance and magic of reading. This also allows me to promote the value of school and public libraries, which creates renewed interest in visiting and using them, especially vital in these days of library funding cutbacks that have resulted in fewer materials and shorter hours. I feel most rewarded when children enthusiastically inform me that they will read more often, encourage friends and family to read more often, share their copies of my books, be more respectful, be less lazy, and be kinder to our needy animal friends. For those of you who are going to attend the upcoming luncheon, I am scheduled to read and discuss Tommy the Throwaway Dog. However, in this wonderful morning meeting, I have the pleasure of reading aloud Ruby Dee and the Lazy Day, and afterward will be glad to take some questions. So I thank all of you again very much, and I will begin now with Ruby Dee and the Lazy Day. And please feel free, absolutely free, during the reading to imagine yourselves once again as young children. Okay? There's no shame in that. And there, of course, is a child spirit within all of us. But please, no food fights and no napping. One morning, Ruby Dee woke up at her usual time, but decided to stay in bed. "I feel so lazy today," she said to herself. "I think I will sleep in a bit longer." The sun was shining brightly through the window, and the birds were singing and chirping, but Ruby Dee didn't care. "Maybe it would be fun to not do anything all day," she thought with a smile on her face, before she fell back asleep. At noon, Ruby Dee awoke and felt a little thirsty. "Hmm," she said, "I think I'll make some tea." Ruby Dee sipped her tea while she sat in her favorite rocking chair and looked outside. It was now very, very cloudy. Dark clouds of different shapes and sizes started to appear. Ruby Dee remembered that the front garden needed some new flowers where there was only dirt and that there was laundry and ironing to be done. But Ruby Dee didn't want to do it. All she wanted to do was nothing. The clothes that were ready to be washed and ironed were scattered all over the backs of chairs, the sofa, and even the floor. After she finished her tea, Ruby Dee thought it would be nice to just sit in the rocking chair for a while. She sank further and further into the soft, plump pillow and rocked for a bit. She saw that the windows were open, but she felt too lazy to get up to close them. A short while later, she dozed off and dreamt about having a yummy picnic on the beach, her basket filled with sandwiches, fruit, and her favorite chocolate cake topped with chocolate frosting. All of a sudden, rain started to fall softly. Then the wind began. Soon the rain and the wind grew louder and louder until the sound was so loud that it woke Ruby Dee out of her deep sleep. She jumped up from the rocking chair at the thunderous sound of pouring rain and saw water everywhere. The wind was howling now and blowing more raindrops into the house. The floor, the rugs, and the clothes that Ruby Dee was supposed to have washed and ironed were now soaking wet. The dirt in the front garden was now a big muddy mess, splattered and piled all over the front porch and the sidewalk. Yuck! Ruby Dee cried, "Oh no, I should have closed the windows. What a mess, and it's all my fault for being so lazy." She quickly closed each window. Then she picked up each piece of wet, soggy clothing. Oh, they were so heavy now. And put them up to dry. "Oh, no," cried Ruby Dee. She saw that her favorite hat was now in a corner on the floor, completely ruined by water. She grabbed some big towels to wipe up all the water from the floor and the rugs, which took an awfully long time. When the rain stopped, Ruby Dee put on her boots and went outside to grab a shovel so that she could scoop the thick brown mud back into the garden planters. This took an awfully long time. Ruby Dee was so tired from cleaning up all the messes that she could only think about lying down. "Oh dear, I'm tired," she cried. "I guess it wasn't so much fun to do nothing after all." Ruby Dee went to bed and dreamt about putting beautiful new flowers in the garden and washing, ironing, and hanging up all the clothes, and how from now on she would be much more careful about being so lazy. The end. I certainly can. I'm glad that you enjoyed that. And I was just asked if there are illustrations that I could describe. There are, and I would be glad to do so. The very first illustration in this book happens to be one of my favorites. It simply is a cartoon-style kangaroo lying down in a four-poster bed covered with some beautiful pale blue sheets and a blanket, and all we see is her smiling face with her starting to awake, so her eyes are partially open. There is a very large, old-fashioned type of clock on the nightstand next to her. Then one of my other favorite illustrations is where she's sitting up in bed wearing a beautiful pink nightgown and the clock says that it's noon. Yeah, something maybe a lot of us wish we could actually live every day. Then, of course, another favorite illustration is the horribly, horribly messy, messy den that has clothes literally scattered all about the room and lying on the floor. One of my favorite illustrations that happens to be the cover of the book and is a favorite illustration of children is when Ruby Dee dozes off and dreams about having that picnic on the beach. She is lying down with a big smile on her face, and the sea is a beautiful shade of blue. The sand is a lovely shade of beige, and this humongous picnic basket is next to her with what I'm focusing on right now, chocolate cake topped with chocolate frosting. Then there's a very wonderful cartoon-style illustration done by this great artist named Nicholas Peruzzo, where Ruby Dee has a look of horror on her face as the thunderous sound of pouring rain wakes her up, And she sees and hears the wind howling and more raindrops entering the house through the windows that she should have closed. The look on her face is fantastic, and it is a great cartoon-style illustration. The look on her face as she's hanging up the clothes that are very heavy to pick up since they're soaked through really cracks me up. It's a look of just utter, why did I do this? Why did I allow this? It does make me laugh. And then the look of sheer fatigue with this large garden shovel in her paws as she has finished scooping the mud back into the garden is a truly classic illustration. And I've sometimes felt that fatigued. And I do like what the illustrator chose here. Then the very end, one of my favorite illustrations has always been the look of happiness on this cartoon kangaroo's face as she's laying back down in the bed, a smile on her face, while she's dreaming about putting beautiful new flowers in the garden and so on and so forth, with the clock reading 7 p.m. Yes! And I thank you so much for allowing me to share this story with you. And at the end of the book, there are some wonderful fun facts which a lot of teachers have been enjoying using in the class and which parents enjoy using at home about kangaroos. There's also a What Did You Learn page to help children reiterate what they read to test their focus and their comprehension, and a couple of questions that apply to all of us that also relate to the story, and that is Ruby Dee and the Lazy Day. And it's now my pleasure to take some questions. Anybody who has a question? Yes, please, I would love to answer it.
Go ahead and take her the mic.
Okay, let me bring you the mic. Glad to. Hello, Bonnie.
Hi, Laura. Thank you. name badges are so helpful. One of the committees in CCV is doing an e-book with illustrations, I was really interested to know what you did as far as, it sounds like you had someone else illustrate it, and how was the material selected? Was it like drawings and or photos, or you getting the expressions that you got? I was especially intrigued how that was done, and how difficult was it as an author to get that done?
What a great question. Well, first of all, happily, I was able to provide descriptions to the illustrator, and I'm very glad about that because for many of the illustrations, I wanted to absolutely be involved in the particular looks on the face of the cartoon kangaroo. I wanted to contribute my opinion as to certain colors for certain pages. And it was a very lengthy project. It always is. Even if one does his or her own illustrations, it's a very, very long and involved process. But the publishing company did help out with that, and I actually am so happy with the illustrator who was available for the job. He does wonderful cartoon style illustrations, different styles from many other illustrators. So the project involved not only the talents of an illustrator, as I am not an illustrator, but I was able to provide my imagination and creativity to help the illustrator create the drawings that I envisioned. But I also had to be careful and allow the illustrator to have, of course, creative license. There has to be a nice balance there to allow the artist to do his job. And it did take a long time, as expected. And the end result has been really wonderful, and I'm so grateful for it. And did I answer all of the questions? The publisher helped me. There are many illustrators who work on a freelance basis with publishing companies. And so for this particular book, I was actually able to choose someone. But I had to wait quite a while before this person was finished with a few other projects before we could begin on this. And that's how that all happened. And thank you so much for your question. Do we have another question? Yes, thank you, Evelyn.
I can hold it. I just want to tell you that I think your book is great because of the fact that it gets across very gently but very clearly what happens that we have to deal with the consequences of our own actions and our own not actions in this case. And I think that that's such an important lesson for people, and it needs to start in childhood. And I love your book for that reason.
Thank you so much, Evelyn. Thank you. I appreciate that. And yes, many people agree with you. Absolutely, your words are what I have heard from so many other people, and I'm talking about adults, even adults who've actually learned something from this children's story. And yes, I agree, and that is one of the reasons that I envisioned the story as I did, because I not only wanted to again write a children's book, but an educational children's book. And that is why Ruby Dee and the Lazy Day is the way that it is. And I'm so happy that you also enjoyed it and appreciate it. And I thank you again. Yes, hello.
Yes, I'm just kind of wondering, when are you going to have a print braille edition available?
Yes, a teacher who had invited me to do readings, Q&As, and book signings in her classes loved my book so much that she asked my permission to transcribe the stories to Braille in Twin Vision format for her classes. She also kindly offered to make copies for me. She did that, which was absolutely marvelous, and then the file that she created, the Duxbury file, is with the Midwestern Braille Volunteers in St. Louis, and they create copies for a minimal fee. The money does not go to me, but strictly supports their organization, and that is currently where one can order Braille copies, but I don't believe that they will create them as Twin Vision. And thank you so much for your question. For Midwestern Braille Volunteers, I have it in my files, and I can email it to you. Glad to. Thank you so much. I will be very glad to do that. We have one question from this lovely person here.
Well, thank you. I was just wondering, are you going to write a series? Are you going to make a series out of the Ruby Dee character? Sounds like you could. Allison Deppner.
I love that question. I have decided to not make a series. A lot of people asked me if I would please make a series of Tommy the Throwaway Dog, and I decided a while back that I did not wish to do so for a variety of reasons, but instead wanted to move forward with my other writings and my other ideas for children's books and to have a completely different story, though educational. So at this time, I am not looking to make Ruby Dee into a series, though you are right, it certainly could be done. And thank you so much for that question. And thank you, everybody. And I'm just going to go back to my seat here and give the mic back to Judy.
Thank you. I'm an equal opportunity meanie. I wouldn't even let my husband ask his question because we have to stop. Can I just have a voice vote? How many of you have iPhones? Say aye.
Aye.
Do you love the new NLS app?
Yes.
It is really good. I'll do a little more when we come to the list. I really want to figure out how many people we do have who use the various book apps and to see if we want to have some kind of session at one of our future meetings. Because there, you know, Read to Go is wonderful. Amazon Now, the Amazon app is fabulous. Audible is easy, so easy to use now. This machine is magical, but I know how annoying it is for non-iPhone people once we iPhoneies get going. That's right. It's any eye device, as Andrea reminds me. Ladies and gentlemen, we do need to clear the room so that people can come back in for their lunch. Is there anything in the last few minutes? I don't want to rush you, but I feel we really did have to kind of hurry this meeting. Is anybody who'd like the floor for anything that you feel we've missed or that you'd like to get on record with? Anybody want the floor? Give it here, says Pam. And then.
Okay. I just wanted to, Judy asked me earlier to do a crocheted blanket for the Kahlua in the spring. I had, brain went dead. So what I need from you guys is I am going to do one. I made one for Laura so she knows what they look like. I made one for GDA and it sold for a chunk of change. So what I was going to do is make one for Kahlua and so that we can auction it off. So let me know what colors you want, and I don't care. I just put it on my lap and just keep crocheting.
Okay. Who else wanted the floor? Somebody else wanted the floor? Peter.
Well, I'll hit you guys up later. But I think basically what we should do is have a teleconference membership meeting sometime before the spring convention.
Absolutely.
A teleconference meeting. And we probably should put some provisions in that in our new constitution.
Yeah. Good idea. Thank you for...
And also, after the meeting tonight, and luncheon, please check out the exhibit room. We got some wonderful exhibitors. They'll be here tomorrow, hopefully. She had a medical emergency come up. But we have purses. We have Pamper Chef's there. A bunch of chapter stuff, especially the San Francisco chapter where we're selling raffle tickets for our
and the
CCB table. We got some wonderful things.
Okay. Okay. Who seeks the floor? Where? Okay. Someone. There are volunteers. I think outside the door. But I think if you literally go to the straight out this door and on the right, somebody says. Okay. Straight out this door and on the right. All right. Yes, Andrea?
Let me
Yes.
You would too. Hi, guys. It's Andrea. I announced this yesterday in technology. We are selling calendars for the Orange County chapter. For any of you that are familiar, these are the APH Insight. They're really nice calendars, and they're nice gifts. They are print braille. They are Twin Vision calendars. They feature artwork by visually impaired children and adults. They have all the holidays for the U.S. and Canada and the Jewish holidays, the moon phases. And each month, the artwork is described in Braille. And they're wonderful. And you can hang them. They have a hole. I am in room 216. So if you would like a calendar, grab me somewhere or call me in room 216. Don't literally grab me somewhere, but it, if you... Yeah, I know I did. I know. Grab me, and I'll be more there. $10, we have them with us, and I'd be more than happy to sell you one. Okay, I'm done.
Yes, at the San Francisco chapter, we're having our, each year we put on a, we have a scholarship that provides technology to a student, and each year we raise close to $3,500. We provide a $2,500 scholarship, and tickets are available through SF chapter members, and they're also at the table. The tickets, the raffle tickets are $1 a piece, or 6 for $5. First prize is $200 cash. Second prize is $100 cash. Third and fourth prizes are $50 cash. So please help support this, the our fundraising activities.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to entertain a motion to adjourn. Second, all in favor? Why do we even do this? Because we all know we're leaving anyway. So moved. I mean, so done. Adjourned. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.